Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Hello and welcome to the Labor Day edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, joined by Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And tonight's guests are the Jailhouse Rocker Terry Lawler. And then later in the show, we're going to talk to AR Fox. But until then, we've got a good bit of wrestling talk to. There's a good bit of wrestling talk to be had. I didn't see a whole lot of wrestling this weekend because I was at Dragon Con, but I did see Dragon Con wrestling, which was an interesting show to say the least. And then I believe Matt made it out to some shows as well, but there are plenty of others that we didn't make it to, unfortunately, so we will have to get caught up on the happenings and other promotions in subsequent shows. But how was your weekend, Matt?
It was solid. You can hear my voice is probably mostly gone. I scream at things a lot, so that happens. But I screamed a lot Friday. I was probably blown out by before the intermission, which is always a problem. But I'll labor through. This is Labor Day, so I will labor through. We are your full service wrestling show. We don't take a day off unless Jonathan wants to see a metal band.
Yeah, or if Raw comes to town or something.
You know. But hey, we're here.
It's been a few months since I've done that, so.
You're due.
Now that we start at 7, it makes it a little easier because I can leave home at 8 and still make it to stuff, you know?
That's true. You can do it from the parking lot if need be.
I could, if I get a Wi-Fi signal.
So how was Dragon Con wrestling? That's the one we split up on Friday, which is odd. It was weird. I was expecting, you know, it might be a light bunch at Empire Friday, given that Dragon Con was in town. I know it was pretty solid. I saw a lot of new faces, which is not a surprise there. I guess it was the cheapos who didn't want to buy a full 4-day Dragon Con pass. But I will see wrestling for $10 tonight, and then we'll just go to Dragon Con later.
Yeah. Well, I think Dragon Con, I don't think a whole lot of people go to Dragon Con just for the wrestling. I mean, it's a big attraction, but I think you're either going to Dragon Con or you're not going to Dragon Con.
Right.
So, but it is a big show every year. It's pretty much the big event to sort of kick things off on Friday night, which is the first official night of Dragon Con. And, you know, it's mostly anarchy people. And I, like a lot of other people, that was over the years, before there was a PCW happening closer to Atlanta, that was my introduction to a lot of these guys, like Danny Only and Strychnine and Jeff G. Bailey and all these characters that we see in so many other promotions these days. I saw them once a year at Dragon Con. And so they were all there, and one thing they do every year is they induct someone into, usually a couple people at least, into the Dragon Con Wrestling Hall of Fame. This year's class was all managers, with Jeff G. Bailey and Reverend Dan Wilson being inducted to kick the show off. So they were in the ring at the same time, and surprisingly, they were able to keep themselves composed for such an event. And they both had rousing speeches, of course, because they always do. I think I ran into you Saturday and told you about Reverend Dan Wilson's speech. Pretty much consisted of a few words spoken and then a guttural death metal screech.
Hey, you got to know your audience. Give it to them what they want.
Yeah. I mean, whether he's friendly or not at Dragon Con, that crowd seems to love him, because I guess he has that whole, you know, there's a horror aspect to Dragon Con that appeals to a lot of the fans there that he definitely embraces. So other than that, it was a 3-hour show. What's that?
I said there should have been a one of us chant. That's what we do.
So yeah, it was a 3-hour show, give or take. Which actually, from previous years, it used to just kind of go on and on. I remember I would go watch wrestling and I'd leave and go to an hour long panel and come back and wrestling would still be going on. but they kind of have it. They've kind of corralled it into a solid 3-hour show the past few years, but lots of familiar faces, lots of interesting matches. There was the first match was a 4-way, which has kind of become another tradition at Dragon Con Wrestling. They kicked things off with a 4-way match, and it was Bro Newsom defending his, I think it was like Dragon Con Light Heavyweight Championship. Against C.B. Gibson, Chip Day, and John Skyler, which was a great match. I mean, you can imagine with those.
Yeah, I can't imagine that being bad. I mean, that's talent for talent for talent for talent. So,
right,
I imagine
right.
That worked out pretty well.
Yeah, and he retained, I believe, if I remember correctly, he retained his title. Then we saw Jacoby Boykins versus Eric Jones. We saw Nemesis and... And Bobby Moore, who the one place you might expect him to get the traditional Barney chant that he gets everywhere else, I guess that most of those fans there just aren't as familiar with that. So he did not get Barney chants. There weren't people dressed as Barney, although there were people dressed as pretty much everything else you can think of.
Various everything else.
Yeah, so that was a weird match where the winner was declared by who could hit who could get 50 chops on the other person first, and Bobby Moore ended up strapped to a chair with Nemesis winning that one. And there was Jacob Ashworth versus what is the guy's name? I think it's, hold on, let me look. Anthony Velvet Hall. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah. I know the name. I don't know the very next name, but I do know the name.
I believe it was him, and he was dressed as Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Did he have a harpoon? Did he have a harpoon? Because you really need some sort of spike on a string if you're going to pull that off.
Oh, no. No, he didn't have that, but he had a great costume. And that zombie guy that have you seen the zombie tag team? I don't know if you remember when we had Ron Neme on the show and he talked about this zombie tag team that's going to be at his promotion.
I don't think I've ever seen that bunch, no.
Oh, well, I think they're just called the Undead, but one of those guys who basically is just, you know, corpse paint white with a big black X on his head, on his forehead, and tattered clothes and everything, he was involved in that match. There was a guy dressed as a Power Ranger. I didn't catch his name. It was a 6-way match, I believe. Adrian Hawkins was involved. Trying to remember everything else. So much. I mean, it's a
theater
show.
They're just going to throw matches at you.
Yeah.
This is a lot of matches. Get ready.
Yeah.
We had a year to prepare, so yeah, this is what we put together. It was a ton of matches.
Yeah. And the way they do their thing is, since they only happen, that show happens once a year, they have a Dragon's Cup, which is the equivalent of their title. So who was it? Brody Ray Chase was the defending champion. Seth DeLay was the challenger. And Seth DeLay, who is not a big fan favorite at Dragon Con Wrestling, came out on top of that. The Hate Junkies were the defending Dragon Con Wrestling Dragon Cup tag team champions, and they came out wearing Road Warrior face paint, but otherwise dressed in their normal Hate Junkies attire. And they put on a great match with Andrew Pendleton III and Murder One, who came out with Jeff G. Bailey and Miss Rachel. And in the end, the bad guys won that one. So they're a new Dragon Con Wrestling, or Dragon's Cup tag team and singles champions. And then
heels as well, so that's just, I'm sure that's going to build to something crazy next year.
Yeah, it was a very heel-heavy card, I mean, as far as who won matches and everything. And then another tradition there is they end with a battle royal, which included pretty much everybody else you can think of that I haven't mentioned. Slim J, Azrael, Ethan Case, Chip Day was back out there, Mike Posey, Corey Hollis, Jacob Ashworth, Adrian Hawkins, John Schuyler, a guy dressed as Bane, who I don't know who it was. There are a lot of Banes at Dragon Con this year, too, because I guess there are, you know, masks at stores that you can get. So
readily available now.
Yeah. So
with so much of the entire sort of... Go ahead.
I was going to say, when Andrew Pendleton, I think it was Andrew Pendleton that he was walking back after they won the Dragon's Cup tag team, Dragon's Cup title, a fan sort of got up, and I didn't see what exactly happened from where I was, but what I heard was the fan spit on him. I just remember seeing a guy sort of get up in his face and then hearing a loud pop and seeing the guy fall down. And apparently he spit on Andrew Pendleton III and got knocked out for it.
As well he should have.
And then he was back up, and I don't know if it was because he had been smacked so hard or if it was because he had been drinking or a combination, but he looked a little groggy after that.
Good enough for it. You don't say what you can say whatever you want. You can say anything you want to anyone. But Jesus Christ, when you cross the line and expect a grown man not to punch you in the mouth, then you're deserving of being punched in the mouth. If 100% of the time that should happen. I've seen it over and over and over, and nobody says more terrible things to wrestlers than I do. Nobody does. And I've never been punched in the mouth yet. Because there's a place you go, and then you don't go past that. And if you go past there, you get your ears boxed, as they say.
Yeah, well, he definitely got what, I guess, what you would expect. But that's the interesting thing about, I think we've mentioned it before, the Dragon Con wrestling crowd is not necessarily people that are into wrestling like you and I are. They get into it every year at Dragon Con, but they don't drive to Cornelia and Warner Robins and Avondale Estates and all these different places, Porterdale. They'll see it on TV occasionally, and then they get drunk on Friday night at Dragon Con and do stupid stuff like that.
Well, there's always an example to be made. With so much of the Empire brass being away, the Avondale show Friday night had a very, very old PCW feel to it, and it was not lost on me. I can tell you that right now. It was just, it was one of those nights where things happened you just could not, like, what? Highlighted, of course, by, I hadn't seen the Contras in some time, probably since like June or July. And as usual, the Empire is beating the wheels off of poor Johnny Danger. I mean, it's just an absolute massacre in the ring. I think there was at least five of them, and they're just teeing off on Johnny. Contra music hits, you think, yes, finally some support for this young go-getter. They end up just come out, and they cut a promo about how much they hate to see people get ganged up on. It went on so long, the Empire just lost interest in beating up Johnny. They just left. And the four Contras had to be counseled to get through their own issues by, I knew she was a medical doctor. I did not know that Dr. Maley also had a psych degree, but she seemed to kind of get to the heart of the matter with the Contras and get them back on the same page in time for them to carry Johnny out. So it was one of those nights in Avondale. You also saw, I guess, We Are Three go down to We Are Two because poor Aisha got a little overzealous in the match and wanted to do a little too much, and ultimately she was destroyed by her own partners. I'm telling you, man, this spike pile driver that she got with Blaze on the top rope and then her up in the Fall of Man for Jeter was disgusting. It was nasty. And as you might recall, from time to time, if a wrestler ever hits a woman, there are some people in the Academy Theater who will call you OJ.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. Well, on this night, Jeter is wearing these giant black gloves like he likes to wear. He hits Pandora. The OJ chant starts. He shuts everybody up by turning and just saying, "The gloves fit." So he has embraced the OJ role. So if you are a woman in PCW Empire, just be careful. There's a monster on the loose. And he's declared himself the new Juice. I'm really excited to see where this goes. I'm just beside myself. And they did another, like, you know, last week was the street fight between Crown Jewel and the Bullets and Pandora. This week was We Are Three and the Bullets and Pandora. And with that limited space, you never know what might happen. But they pulled it off beautifully again. And I couldn't get over it. It looked gorgeous. So they have hit stride running, you know, as we move towards sacred ground. That promotion is running harder than usual, and that's something to say for that bunch. And this was on a night where, you know, like I said, some of the bigger names were off doing this thing or that thing, so it was a limited roster, and they still pulled it off. It's a solid evening.
Well, yeah, well, like I said, there was a lot of wrestling to be seen. Of course, Saturday night was PCW in Porterdale, as well as Peach State Wrestling Alliance in Carrollton, among other shows, and neither of us was at any of those, so I'm not really certain what all happened there. But one person that is familiar with the shenanigans that can go on and the monsters that can be found at Academy Theater on Fridays is Terry Lawler, someone that we're very familiar with on this show. But he's got a show this weekend coming up with NWA Deep Southern Championship Wrestling, and he's got a little bit of a new gimmick or revisiting an old gimmick or something. So he is joining us now. Terry, how are you tonight?
What's up, fine guys? How y'all doing?
All right. Sorry to keep you on hold for so long, but we had to recap, you know, some unusual happenings on Friday night between the two shows we went to.
There's no problem. I was just sitting back listening and kind of catching up what's going on myself, and I listened to y'all.
So you are wrestling, is it this Saturday for the SCW?
Yes, sir. Bringing back the Jailhouse Rocker gimmick, which is an Elvis-based, the younger Elvis, not the fat Elvis, the 70s in the jump thing. So it's I hadn't done this gimmick. I did a three-night run in 04, but prior to the 2004, I haven't done it since 1994, so it's been 18 years since I've actually tried to do this full time again. And so hopefully there's still a few Jazz Rocker fans and some people will still appreciate the character, you know.
Well, is that before Elvis learned the karate? Or is the karate included in this?
The thing is, I never know what's going to happen from show to show. Sometimes I get surprised myself, you know.
once you go into Jailhouse Rocker mode, it takes over.
Exactly. I'm a you've heard of method actors. I'm a method wrestler. You know, I jump in character and never know what's going to happen. I have to watch the tapes and go, "Good God, what was that about?"
Excellent. That's exactly how it should be. You are but a conduit.
I just channeled it, you know. But no, it's back in our early 90s, I was doing this gimmick on Superstars of Wrestling, along with Dope Pettisano, Bonnie Blackstone, Sammy Kent, my brother. That was back when Buff first broke in doing Fabian. So I had a pretty good spot through the Southeast television channels, and got hooked on pain medicines, and then that just kind of grew and grew and grew and grew. So the whole reason I'm wanting to bring this back is I got a lot of fuzzy memories or very little memories. Lost a lot of my footage from those days. So I'm trying to turn back the hands of time as best I can, and it's not only this time it's for the fans, but it's also for personal for myself, because I'm sure we all have things in our past that we like to either to try to fix or to correct or just, you know, close the chapters on it, and this has happened to be one of my things.
Well, I believe wasn't Elvis's birthday not too long ago?
His birthday was in January, and his death date was this past August, and there was an Elvis Royale with Big Mike gear and little 5 points, and happened to go in character and picked the best looking Elvis out of that night.
That's something to hang your hat on if you can be the best looking Elvis in Atlanta. I mean, that's just competition.
If that guy went to Vegas, I would have been, you know, definitely out of my league probably in Vegas.
You start small, but hey, it's different if you put it in Indiana or something. That's not really anything to brag about, but hey, this is the South. I mean, Elvis is still strong here.
I was happy. Usually, this is the first time I've ever known to do a contest, because usually after the encore, they play one song and everybody gets to act a fool dressed like an Elvis on the stage. So I figure by the time in the night got there, I would have had a few beers. I mean, been, you know, timed about right, so they threw me a curveball when halftime hit, and they're like, we're going to do a contest, and all my friends, you know, kind of pushed me into it, so I'm like, all right, well, I'll give it a shot. And I can't lie, as soon as I started walking on stage, I started getting pops, because it's all fan-based votes, and just give me a little confirmation that maybe this is a good time to bring the gimmick back.
I think it has to be, but I mean, you know, like, and there's so many guys who wrestle now with they're just some guys, you know, it's just a name. It's, you know, Frank Jones from X, and he goes and does this thing, and that's the end of it. But we don't see nearly as many characters as we used to, and I think people are still hungry for it.
I'm hoping so. I mean, you know, like I said, it's still the South. Elvis is still hot, no matter, you know, what age are little kids to old folks. Everybody knows who Elvis is and still appreciate his music, and hopefully I can ride the coattails of that and, you know, close this, check my books, and have fun with it, and hopefully the fans appreciate it also, you know.
Do you know who you're wrestling yet?
Yes, I got most of the card given to me. It's just starting to turn out to be like a family and friends night for The Rocker, the way it looks. It's myself and yeah, I was like, good Lord, they keep adding more names. I said, well, that's a good friend of mine. That's a good friend of mine. They've put Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express and myself as a tag team against Sean Bell and the All-Star. We've got Kyle Matthews versus Sean Banks. The Washington Bullets versus Torque and the Crash Test Dummy. The Movement versus Super 530. I know, Crash Test Dummy. He's a pretty good worker. I've seen him a couple times already.
Okay.
You got Semper Fi, Cody Roberts, Ray Ray, The Movement, Mr. Showtime, Cyrus. The Lumberjacks are reuniting for that night, Chip Day. And there's still more that they haven't finished posting yet. So it's trying to be a pretty good strong card up there. Saturday the 8th, address is 1580 Appalachian Highway in Blue Ridge, Georgia. It's just, if you get on 575, just keep riding it north, it eventually turns into that same road.
Okay. So it ain't hard to get to. You don't have to go left at the old oak.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. You just ride straight to it. That's always a plus.
They take a hard right where the tree used to be, but it's not there anymore, but you turn right there.
Where the tree used to be.
Yeah. I've got some of those directions there. You be traveling along, and next thing you get everybody's personal story of who's running around, who out there, and who just dies. You gotta love the South sometimes.
You absolutely do.
But it's cool because in my early part of my career, I spent a lot of time up in the Blue Ridge, the Fannin County, and right there at Ducktown, which is right across the state line in Tennessee and stuff. So it's kind of like a little miniature homecoming for myself. So it was, the promoter, when I told him what I was going to do, he requested to have the first booking, and it was an honor to have him want it to do in his own house, so to speak. And then the cool thing is, the next night, September the 9th, is my 23rd wrestling anniversary.
Long time to be wrestling. Long time to be wrestling and still be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's a long time to have fun, Yeah, long, it's a long time to have fun. You got family and friends and enemies, and you know. I think wrestlers have more fun. Wrestlers have more fun than real people. The way I look at it.
Absolutely. 23 years, and I've never heard anybody say a bad word about Terry Lawler. That's a pretty strong. That's pretty good. Maybe I just didn't talk to the right people.
Maybe you didn't talk to the right people. I'd be friends with you guys too. there's got to be some people like that unticked off somehow.
Well, Terry, what is the event called? Rock on the Ridge.
Rocking on the Ridge or Rockin' a Ridge. So it's cool. You got I guess my part is the Jazz Rocker makes Rockin' on the Ridge and then Rockin' on Express. So it was cool to be tapped in with, you know, some I've grown up over the years watching and admiring and got to be good friends over this past year. But this doors open at 7. The bell time is at 8. Ticket prices are adults are $10. Kids ages 12 and under are $5. So the prices are really good up there.
Yep. And I believe the website is dscw.org for anyone who is curious. Terry, what else you got coming up? You're always wrestling all over the place, so I'm sure you've got some other shows in the near future.
The following Friday, the 14th, I'm at the TWA up in Dalton, and that's another strong place when I first started on the Jeff's Rock gimmick, and it's a funny story. Is I kind of lived a simple life, didn't get out much, and when I started doing this gimmick, I came through the curtain. Apparently, I was having a good hair day, and there's some Elvis fans in the crowd. Other women and stuff, and as soon as I hit the curtain, they started screaming and hollering real loud as if I was Elvis, and I was so young and naive, I didn't know whether to run back to the dressing room scared to death or to continue doing what I was doing, and it worked. You know? So thank God I listened to the last part and actually kept on shaking my leg and gyrating my hips and hugging the women, and like I said, the rest was history, but that first time it scared the crap out of me. I can't lie about that. I mean, I've heard people yell at me, but this is a kind of different kind of screaming and yelling and then that's what I might have done to them, but it's one of those stories that, you know, early in my career, I still had some good times and memory stuff, but then the 15th, I'll be at FWF over in Winder. The 22nd, I'm for UIW out in Buckhannon, Georgia. The 29th, I'm in Canton, Georgia for North Georgia, and then leave from there, go down to Tampa for a cruise for my birthday. So
I can't believe you don't have a booking on the boat. Are you wrestling on a Wednesday in international waters?
Well, here's the thing. It could happen because Lightning from Thunder and Lightning tag team, he's getting married, so you got his partner Chris Gans there, Lamar Phillips, myself. And I think there's like Bobby Moore's on the cruise. There's enough wrestlers on that cruise, we could turn it into, we might make the news, so.
Rumble in the Casino on deck 4.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't imagine if I showed up on a cruise and then a bunch of wrestling goons showed up. I wouldn't know what to do.
That's it. Paradise. That's the name of the carnival, and they might change it after that.
I think it's a golden opportunity.
You never know. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, that week of the first week in October, just keep watching TMZ or your local news channels because something could happen. I'm not promising nothing, but I'm saying everything is lining up where it could happen. I'm just saying. But appreciate y'all guys. Y'all supported, a lot of stuff I've done. Let me call in and promote stuff that I'm doing. And y'all always do a great job. And if nobody else says thank you, at least let me say thank y'all for all y'all have done for wrestling and keeping everybody informed and updated to what's going on locally and nationally. And just for myself personally, I appreciate all y'all keep doing.
We appreciate
it. All right.
That. Whenever we need a guest, we just call Terry Lawler, and he will be there for us.
Hello? Put me on speed dial number one. It might not be what you want, but I'll give you a conversation.
Everything else falls apart. We always have you in the back pocket. Last time I called you out, I said I hadn't seen you in a while. I saw you 5 days later. It was great.
Yeah. And none of us saw that coming. You just showed up at Academy Theater again.
And I disappeared as quick as I walked in the door, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
In true rocker style.
I did what I did. Rolled out, got in my car, went to the local bar, had a few beers, went home. It was good.
I got to trying to cash. Your rocker showed up. It was a good time.
Yeah, it's the life of the rocker, you know. I'm having fun for a change. So, but yeah, like I said, once again, I appreciate y'all's support and everything y'all keep doing for all of us. I know sometimes people can call in guests and probably might just want to promote themselves and then not give y'all credit for what they do, but I just want to take this time and say thank y'all.
Hey, thank you. Well, before we let you go, Terry, how long are you going to do the Jailhouse Rocker thing? Are you going to keep doing that for a little while?
That's what I'm going to ask that question not too long ago, and I said as long as the fans still want it, I'm not going to give them something they don't want in this for my personal gain. I might like to do it for a while, run its course, but it all depends how the fans just, you know, because without the fans, there's none of us, you know?
Right. All right, well, go ahead, Matt.
When they get tired of me shaking my leg or throwing my hip out or something like that, then, you know,
you've always got your leather jacket on reserve, so you can throw that back on and get right back to it. But I'll definitely look forward to catching it.
I appreciate it, guys. So, I'll see y'all down the road, and I know you got other guests calling and stuff, but thanks once again, and if you heard a name, just give me a yell. We'll tell me what's going to happen. We'll have fun with it.
All right, well, good luck this weekend, Terry, and I'm sure we'll talk to you sometime soon.
Take care, guys.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
I guess on that note, we can take a commercial break, and then hopefully we will be hearing from A.R. Fox in a few minutes. He's got a bunch of stuff coming up in Georgia and in bigger promotions where he works. So going to go to commercial, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it.
That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com and Matt Hinkins from Team All You Can Eat. And we just talked to Terry Lawler, who's always entertaining. We do not have AR Fox on the line just yet, so I guess, Matt, we're going to have to just keep talking about some wrestling.
Oh, no, I hate talking about wrestling. Hashtag
Well, one thing we should mention is TNA, Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, will be in Georgia this week, I believe Thursday at the Dalton Trade Center, Friday at the Tabernacle in Atlanta, Saturday at the Georgia Mountain Center in Gainesville. So, if you're not already going to many of the numerous indie shows also happening this weekend, there's some of the bigger names will be there. I'm not sure exactly who all's scheduled for those shows, but... Have you ever been to one of the TNA house shows, Matt?
Yeah, I went to one several years. Well, I was at the first show they ever ran when they were doing that the twice a month pay per view. It was the first one, so they taped two there, and I was like, "This thing's gonna blow up!" And boy, was I wrong. But, and I was at a house show a few years later in the same building, and it's always a good time. I mean, you know, some people will run down their TV product for whatever reason, which has gotten a lot better over the last 6 months or so. But
yeah,
their house shows are always entertaining. I mean, they give it, it feels like a house show, and you know you're going to get things that you normally wouldn't see. So, yeah, definitely check one of those out. They're really good. I think I've heard tell that they may be doing a gut check at one of these, so we may get to see some of our local guys kind of get a shot. So, yeah, definitely something to check out. I do miss the six-sided ring. I thought live that looked a lot better than it set them apart. I wish they did that
as
well, but I like that.
I agree with you. A lot of people do not agree with that, but I thought that was one of the big mistakes they made when Hulk Hogan and Bischoff first came in and started making changes. That was the one thing I didn't think they should have changed. But looks like we've got a caller. What's that?
You can usually get pretty close. Where, you know, if you saw them somewhere else, you saw one of the other TV promotions, you might not have that option. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Absolutely. Well, I believe this is our next guest, AR Fox, but let's find out. Hey, thanks
Hello?
For calling Georgia Wrestling Now.
Yo, this is AR Fox, man. What's up?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
All right. Appreciate you
cool.
taking the time to give us a call. I know you train on Monday nights, so...
Yeah, man. It's all good.
Well, I know you got a lot of stuff coming up, but I saw some stuff on Facebook where last Thursday at WWA 4 you had a big match against the guy who trained you, Mr. Hughes, and I'm not sure what the outcome of that was, but how did that go? How was the match?
Oh, I finally ended up beating them, and I, you know, the student beat the trainer, and that was my last match at the WWA 4. So, yeah, I ended up beating him. This dude, he tried to have him help him out like he did in my match two weeks ago. Yeah, tried to help him out again, but it backfired on him, and I got the 1-2-3 this time.
All right. Well, I guess that's a good way to go out. What was the reason for that being your last match there?
Well, I just moved. I relocated. I'm a trainer in New York now. As
oh, okay.
opposed to, you know, Atlanta.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, and then this weekend you got, it looks like you have two matches in one night, one for Evolve and one for Combat Zone Wrestling. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Me and Ricochet for Evolve 17, me and him. And then, later on that night, I have a ladder match. I'm put on putting up my the junior heavyweight CZW title against the Wire title, the TV title, in a, you know, double championship match, I guess, ladder match. So that's going to be a big day. I'm looking forward to that. I'm definitely looking forward to the ladder match because I can't wait to add another belt on my shelves at home because it looks kind of awkward with just, I need more belts on my shelf. I got too many empty spaces, so I need to fill it up.
Well, you have a few already, don't you? At least two, right?
Yeah. Well, I had the WWA 4 title all the way until I never lost it, but you know, so now I just relinquished that, and I have the CZW Junior Heavyweight belt. I'm one half of the Dragon Gate Tag Champions. And I'm the IPW, that's Insanity Pro, out of the Midwest. I'm their junior champ as well.
All right. So you need something to fill the WWA 4 title space, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
right.
Have you wrestled Ricochet before? I'm sure you have, right?
Yeah. Singles matches, we've had two at that. He's who actually I beat. When I was saying that IPW junior belt, he's the one I beat for that. He was the champ when I started working for them. And we worked twice, and on the second time I took the belt from him. So yeah, I worked Ricochet two times so far. But Insanity Pro is awesome, but never on a stage this big. So this has a bigger match feel to it because we're both later on in our careers and more developed, I guess. So this is a bigger stage of wrestling on.
Anytime I see Ricochet or you or like ACH, guys that do the style that you guys kind of wrestle in, I'm always amazed at how do you even start to prepare to do all the things you're going to do or have to do to win a match? How do you even get to that point to where you can even just physically do that? I mean, what is the workload like leading up to a match like that?
See, you just don't stop. Like that's what I do. You know, I can't speak for these other guys, but I would say that they just don't stop because you wouldn't be able to go like weekend to weekend and take like some of these brutal falls onto the concrete when I flip and you know like crash and burn like half the time. Like you wouldn't be. I don't think someone would be able to do that twice a month. You know, like my body, I think I build a tolerance for it. That's why it's really important to me that ever since I've been training, pro wrestling training, it's been 5 years. And I trained Monday through Thursday every week, every Monday through Thursday for the past 5 years. So I don't really stop. You know what I mean? Like, I think my body built up that tolerance for it. Like, I think if I was to take some time off and then go back and then crash and burn on a concrete floor, I think I'd be really sore for a couple of days. But I think since I just am always hurt, I guess, or always, you know what I mean? I'm always
be right.
Huh?
I would imagine you have to always be hurt from something because you're never more than a week removed from just some giant malady, whether it be someone did it to you or, like you said, you guys move around so much, you just slip, whatever happens. I imagine you're always banged up.
Yeah. Like I'm very, very thankful. Like every day, I'm thankful that I haven't been injured. Like you know, but being hurt, yeah, I'm never not even close to 100%. Like I'm never at 90% even. Like I'm always something's always wrong. Like right now, something like my foot, something hurts in it. You know, but it's like I can't even remember what it hurts from. You know, but there's always something, you know, like I'm never 100% fresh, ready to jump through that curtain. Like I already got something bandaged up already, you know, like before I even start a match, you know. So I try to just stay on, like as soon, even if it's something small as a bruise or something really big, I just try to ice it immediately, like just to try to get rid of it. Like, you know, like come home and I just got ice, even if it's simple, you know, I just try to stay on top of my injuries and wrap them and rest them and get better as soon as I can. And it seems to be working because sometimes when I'm hurt and I'm laid in bed and I think I'm out because I've crawled into my front door some nights after getting home after shows, like where I couldn't even walk. You know, I was like not even one thing hurt, but I was just in that much pain overall that I've crawled and was too stubborn to let people help me. And they're yelling, come on, let's just go. And I've gotten arguments with my family and people because I'm crawling into my house because I'm in so much pain. So I think I just learned how to, you know, medicate, like not medicate, but take care of myself, like, because there's been times when I've been hurt and I thought I was out for, like, at least a week or two, a couple of weeks, and I just made sure that I rested and had ice on it as much as I can, and, like, 3 days later, I'm good, so... I'm just thankful, man. I don't know how I'm not hurt, really, honestly.
And do you even have time to really think like a Ricochet? And I'll use Ricochet as an example because his matches are so just wide open. Do you even have time to think in those matches?
Nah. It's just time to go and do it. There's no. If he's in a spot and I could catch him off guard, I'm gonna flip on him, and it's just there's not a second of breath because everybody else is so quick, you know what I mean? So it's like you just gotta be just the same step as them or a step faster, so you don't even have a second to stop, think, breathe, anything.
AR, I know you spent a good deal of time wrestling here in Georgia. Are you from here, or did you just come here to train?
No, I moved to Atlanta to train. I'm from Connecticut, and I moved to Atlanta like 5 years ago to train at the WWE 4. So yeah, so I lived there for about 5 years.
Okay, and I guess we're not going to be seeing as much of you here, which is, I guess, something that's kind of a privilege for Georgia wrestling fans to see someone who's making a name for himself in all these bigger promotions, and we get to see you at smaller places down here.
Yeah.
But how much? I know you're going to be at Fall Brawl the next weekend, right? Fall Brawl 2.
Yeah, that I'm looking forward. I've been looking forward to that for a long time. So that's in Thompson, I think, Georgia. I'm looking forward to that. I get to take out some frustrations on the Fireman.
The Fireman. That's who you're wrestling.
Yeah, me and him. I think we're going at it in the main event, I think. Me and the Fireman. We got a little history, though, so we should tear the house down.
So that's been brewing for a while.
Yeah, exactly. It's been, So finally I'll be able to finish it all, you know, September 15th.
Well, I guess you're tying up a bunch of loose ends and finding some closure on all these things before you're gone from Georgia for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, do you have any other shows coming up in Georgia, or is that going to be your last one for a while?
It looks like that's going to be my last one for a little bit. Would be the Fall Brawl, but it's not like I'm not going to be wrestling there for a while, you know, until something else comes across that's running there. But I'm sure I'll be there again in the near future. Even if I don't get booked for an actual show, I'll probably be back at the WWE 4 for a little while just to do a couple of their little school shows just to pop up on there because that's my home and end of the day is the WWE 4.
Who was a big influence on you to kind of get you to adopt the style that you've gotten into?
No one really. Like, I just watched it. I just watch a lot of wrestling. And, like, before you actually started wrestling, well, how it was for me, like, all I knew was WWE and WCW and all that stuff. Like, I wasn't too familiar with Japanese wrestling and, you know, all this indie stuff. So, like, once I started wrestling and people, you know, showed me what was really out there. I still, you know, I watch hours of wrestling every day, even today. Like, so I just watch a lot and then just, like, you know, let my brain just wander and I just try to mix different, like Mexican spots with a Japanese spot. So it, like, comes off that really different. And I just try to let my mind wander to be different.
I don't remember who it was we had a few weeks ago, Matt, but I remember someone kind of making a joke about how Mr. Hughes, who's this big guy, is not known for a lot of high flying at all, trained all these guys like A.R. Fox and stuff. What was his influence like on you, especially since your style is so drastically different from his?
Yeah. Well, it, I don't know. Like, he taught me, like, all wrestling, but, like, all the, like, in, but in the school, it has several rings, so I just would go off into the other ring and put a crash pad down and just try out a lot of my high flying. But Hughes is the one who taught me all the fundamentals and how to structure a match and, like, the psychology and stuff like that. But, yeah, the high-flying stuff, he encouraged me to do it a lot, but, like, I'm sure as everybody knows, he didn't really show me any of the high-flying moves. He definitely encouraged them and put them over and told me I was doing, like, when I was young in my career needed the encouragement, he definitely encouraged me and, you know, he liked it and put it over big when he commentated and told me good job and told me since I was smaller than the big wrestlers and the big companies, I would have to be flying around. So he definitely told me I would have to be flying around and he always told me the higher the better, you know, he would raise his hand and be like, the higher the better. The higher you do, take this move or do that move, it's going to look better than the guy that went lower than you. So I would just try to get as high as I can.
Is there one match that stands out to you that you've been in that you're like, this is my high water mark, and I'm trying to get to that level every night?
Well, that's hard because some matches are just like, I have matches that to me were like really, really, really special. And, like, crazy, like, I had a match when I teamed with Shima of Dragon Gate, and we wrestled Samurai, Del Sol, and El Generico. And, like, a match like that, I don't think you could even do every night, like, because it was, like, yeah. But other matches are just real good. I had a lot of matches with Yuha Nation, and, yeah, if I could have a match like I have with him, because every time I have a match with him, I just absolutely love it, so, yeah, if I could have a Yuha Nation match, I guess, every match, I'd be happy. If my opponent could be like Nation, you know, I'd be really happy. I told him I miss him because he's hurt right now at the moment. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him.
I saw him a couple weeks ago, and he's telling me he's hurt, and he's just been sitting on the couch, but he still looks like a linebacker. So I don't know what kind of hurt that is, but it shouldn't be too much longer.
Yeah, he's great. He's awesome. He's going to go far.
Is there anybody that you hadn't been in the ring with yet that you really just cannot wait to get a shot with?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you an answer, and it's not because of the past 2 years. Somebody interviewed me when I was in Japan a while ago, and I had this answer because they asked me the same question. And my person is Kevin Steen, and I'm not jumping on no bandwagon, and this is way before the ROH title scene and everything, but I just absolutely love Kevin Steen's style. I like contrast the styles matches. Like, yeah, I like to see a high flyer with a high flyer, but I'd rather see, like, a high flyer with a big guy or this hardcore guy against this big guy. Like, I like contrast the styles. So I would really want to wrestle Kevin Steen because I'm down to do whatever bump or whatever, and he gives some pretty crazy stuff, and I'm down to do whatever with him, and I think we could both, like, if him bring his all and me bring, like, his all and the power and brutal power bombs on the apron and all this stuff into the buckle, and I bring all my crazy dives and all this stuff, I think our match would be like the best big man power and a crazy high flyer. Like, I would love to wrestle Kevin Steen. I've seen an old match with him versus Pac from, like, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla years ago, and, like, it's just embedded in my brain. Like, it was, like, it traumatized me. Like, I could almost see that match when I think of it because it was just, like, one of the first indie matches I've seen, too, and ever since then, I've always wanted to wrestle Kevin Steen because he was wrestling Pac, who's a flyer, and I was like, man, I want to wrestle Kevin Steen. So that has been my answer for a long time.
You must really like crawling back to your door. I can't imagine you walk out of that match. I can't imagine anybody just walks away from that.
I know. Yeah, right? Me either.
Well, for a guy his size, he can do some high-flying stuff, too.
Yeah, he can. I like it more when he just is, like, rude and not obnoxious and stuff. I love his heel. I love it. Like one time he had, like, this guy in, like, such a basic, like, choke, you know, one of them things when you're just, like, standing on the person in the corner, like, you know, not really doing nothing. And he was, like, looking at the camera, and he was like, "What? Aren't you on a commercial break?" And I was just like, he's just awesome to me. I just really like it. Really like his character and his work.
Yeah.
Have you ever wrestled for Ring of Honor yet?
No, I haven't. No. But, yeah, so I don't plan on it either, though, because, like, my contract, like, I'm signed, so I wouldn't be able to anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm signed to it. Dragon Gate.
Is there some kind of working relationship between Dragon Gate and CZW?
Yeah, we're cool. Yeah, we're cool. There's actually an agreement with I'm trying to word this correctly for myself. It's actually cool for me to wrestle anywhere but there, I guess. I don't know how else to say it. Yeah. You know, just because of past heat they got, you know, it's not even necessarily in my contract, but, you know, they're not friends, so to speak. So
right.
This company is
rule.
So this company's trying to help me out and push me and all this stuff. I'm not going to go and work for somebody that they got problems with. The Dragon Gate team with Sabu took me to Japan and all that stuff, you know, so even, like, it's not in my contract, but, like, even if, like, it was or wasn't, like, either way, I would feel like, you know, it's not the WWE in my mind, like, so it's not, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you.
If there wasn't no heat, yeah, I would love to go to Ring of Honor, though. Like, I'll put it, like, I'll just say, like, I'm a mark for them. Especially their old stuff, like, yeah, I keep up with it, too. Like, I watch every single episode of every show. Like, I watch all three WWE shows every week. I watch Ring of Honor weekly, TNA weekly. So, I, you know, I'm a fan of them, and if there wasn't heat, yeah, I would be happy to go there, but because stuff's how it is, you know, I'm not.
What prompted the move to New York? Was it just more convenient for where you're working, or you just take a train into the next part?
No, I actually really like training in WWE 4, I just moved up here because mainly I'm in New Jersey, and I usually got to, you know, try to figure out a ride and see who else I could try to get booked with me, and we can figure something out. So if I stay up, I'm mainly here, like, almost every weekend, like, in this area, New York, New Jersey, Philly, so it's just more convenient. So that's the only reason. I'd much rather stay at the WWE 4 because, like, I've been there for so long, and it's almost become, like, my place almost in a way. Like, you know, you know, I just moved here because it's more convenient because this is where I'm at every weekend.
All right. Well, AR Fox, I want to thank you for calling. We got to wrap things up.
And, all right.
I don't know if you're going to get back to training or whatever, but, again, I appreciate you taking the time to give us a call. And I guess we will try to catch you at the Fall Brawl thing in a couple weeks.
All right. Cool. Sounds good, man.
And good luck in all your title matches and everything this weekend.
Cool. I hope I come home with another one, then I can put myself up right. All right.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. All right.
Not what I expected at all. Just not at all what I was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting, but that was not it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
There it is.
But
before you wrap up, I would be remiss if I did not talk about PWR for a minute because grand old time up there. And listen,
well, it was their big show where they're crowning their first
crowning champion
and everything under the new banner.
I know that people may have opinions about whatever they used to do, and that people may have opinions about, oh, it's so far away, the drive is so far. Look it, they've got pieces in place to make a strong move. And what they need are people to watch it. So just drive to the mountains. It's pretty. There's still smog. Just drive to the mountains a few times a month. It's not hard. There was a great, it was a great time yesterday. The main event was Jagged Edge and Strychnine. So that alone is worth the trip, because I'm here to tell you it was brutal. Strychnine, from this time last year to right now, I can't believe the difference. Anybody who knows me knows that most of the shows I go to, I take my daughter with. And she's grown up in a wrestling house, so she kind of, she understands things. She's a pretty smart kid when it comes to watching wrestling. And at the end of the match, she came right up to me and said, "Did Strychnine get stronger?" Yeah, I think he did. But, I mean, nobody, and Jagged Edge up there is very different from the Jagged Edge we kind of know here. And that sort of, there's no, he's wide open up there. Says exactly what he wants, does exactly what he wants, and it's a very different thing. So you owe it to yourself to go see it. Jacob Ashworth is the number one contender for his, for Jagged Edge's brand spanking new, gorgeous TWR heavyweight title. So I don't know when that's going to happen, but when it does happen, it's going to be great. So just keep it on your radar, folks. Show up. It's not that far. It's not hot anymore. It's on Sunday. You can watch the Falcons. You can head up. You get back in time to go to work. You can go to the Universal Joint and drink. They do sell beer in Clayton, so don't let that stop you. Just go to the show. Go to the show. Buy a Matt Sells t-shirt. Go to the show.
Matt Sells was did he have his All Sells final talk show segment?
He absolutely did.
I got to say, he made his stand-up comedy debut last Tuesday, and he did a good job. I mean, I've seen his All Sells final, so I know he can be a funny guy, and he's called in several times here. But he was a little nervous, and he went on last, which I don't know if that was kind of a new guy thing that they do to break you in or what, but he went on last out of about 12 or 13 people and followed some really terrible acts and some really, really good ones. And, you know, he held his own, and he's doing it again, from what I understand, this Thursday, this time at Relapse Theater, which I actually did an improv thing there a couple years ago, probably with different group of people. But so, yeah, he's a big part up there of that show. And while he's recuperating from his knee injury, he's doing these stand-up comedy shows, and I encourage people to check those out as well. And the next PWR show is Sunday the 16th. They start at 5 p.m. So, again, they don't run too late, and you can get back, depending on where you live in Georgia, of course. I mean, some people actually live closer to there. But, yes, I agree with Matt. I wasn't at yesterday's show because I was at Dragon Con all weekend. But I have been to the last few shows, and they're definitely working towards something. They know, or they're trying to at least improve upon what the mistakes they may have made in the past or whatever, and I think they're on the right track. So what else we got this weekend? I believe Anarchy is this Saturday.
Yes, Anarchy will be running this go-round.
I think Rampage is Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And that's the one where Honey Boo Boo's going to be there.
I'm so excited. I hadn't told my kids in case they back out. I don't want to disappoint my child. But if I can pull this off, I might win Father of the Year.
And then, as we mentioned, TNA is going to be in town. And I guess that's pretty much it for this weekend. So next week,
we've moved into what is very likely, what is entirely possibly, the last four shows in Avondale Estates in the Academy Theater for PCW/Empire. So anybody who's ever been in that building knows what that building means. You get it. So this last month, Open Challenge is the big homecoming. So if you've ever been in there and maybe you hadn't been in a little while, you got to come back one more time. Because if it does end, as, you know, depending on sacred ground or depending on what happens here or there, if this is actually the end, you will kick yourself for missing this last run. So come on home. Just come on home.
Right, and that's, of course, every Friday, at least for the next four Fridays, and then Sacred Ground is the 29th in Porterdale, at the same venue as the regular Porterdale shows, so that'll be interesting. But, yeah, lots going on in the wrestling world, and that's one of them. So we'll talk more about all that next week. And next week we're doing something a little different. Larry Goodman's joining us, and we're doing an all-referee show. So we've got, I believe we're going to have Duke Corey, D. Byers. I can't remember the whole list, but Mike Posey, I believe, is going to be a part of it. Ken Wallace and Dustin Robinson, I think. So, a little something different, but it should be interesting. And I think, depending on how that one goes, we might do similar things in the future where we have, like, all bookers or all, I don't know, all champions or something like that. So,
it all people who hate wrestling, so we already knocked those shows out.
Well, I'm sure there are others that hate wrestling, but maybe... Danny only has a lot of friends who hate wrestling for some reason, even though he loves it so much. So, yeah, I don't know how much the referees hate wrestling. They have plenty of reason to hate some parts of it.
We will find out, I'm sure.
Yeah, so that'll be next week at 7, and we will talk to you then.
Listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.